Extravaganza.
Hello and welcome back to the Horror Pop Extravaganza, the place where the macabre meets the mindful, and we introduce just the love of the scary and the creepy and the cool in the cinematic world, and we try to have a good time doing it. I am Pops Ghostly. This is episode 20, and with me, as always, is
Clint Torres.
Clint Torres.
That's me, baby.
Clint or Torres, Mr. Torres.
Mr. Torres, or?
Or is it Commander Torres? Are you in the military? Are you the Torres Commander?
I was Major Clint Torres, and now I'm Commander Clint Torres.
That's wonderful. That's beautiful, dude. Okay. So, Clint, we talked a couple. I got to stop with all my while I'm thinking. That's what happens when you smoke pot, marijuana. So we talked a couple weeks ago about Fright Night because we were chatting about Chris Anderson when we were talking about Chucky and said, you know what? We got to bring Fright Night to the table. But neither of us had taken the time to watch it when we were going to record. You know what? That happens. Life happens. So we jumped on Scream, and we gotta say something real quick, though, about Scream 7 getting announced.
Wow.
With Kevin Williamson. I believe we talked that into existence. It was our love. Was like part of, there's probably not, you know, more than just us, but we're like, we need this in the universe. And we sent it out there. And Neve Campbell got her payday. It's going to be awesome to see her come back as Sidney Prescott. And Kevin Williamson, we had so much good to say about during the whatever Scream episode, you know, his hand in everything in the 90s was super cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it goes. Yeah, I think you even compared him to, you said, our generation's John Hughes or some shit like that. And yeah. I think you're right, dude. He 100% has it. But way back when, in 1985, a little movie came out called Fright Night, directed by and written by, I think as well, Tom Holland, who would go on to direct Child's Play. And do that. So we have that connection. We have the Sanderson connection. There must have been a good relationship between those two where he was like, hey, man, you want to come back and do something? Sweet, dude. I'd love to be on a set with you again. Like, clearly, usually when you see that happen after a year or two, it's usually a sign that the director and the talent got along. So anyway, before we get too deep, why don't you lay it on us? How did this get made? When did it get made? Why did it get made? And who helped this thing get made?
This movie is called Fright Night from 1985, rated R, 1 hour and 46 minutes, starring, and this has been driving me crazy, bro. You've been saying his name wrong for 2 episodes now.
Oh, yeah. Alex Vincent, dude. I meant to bring that up too.
No.
Are you talking?
No.
Oh.
Chris Sarandon. Not
Sarandon. Sanderson. Yeah.
Sarandon. You Sarandon. Said it all the way through the Child's Play.
Listen, I did want to bring that up too. I kept saying Andy Vincent plays Andy Barkley, but it's Alex Vincent. Alex. It's easy. Okay. So Sarandon.
Yeah. He's actually the brother of Susan Sarandon. Susan? Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So Chris Sarandon, William Ragsdale. Great dude. Amanda Burse playing Amy Peterson,
probably most famous for Married with Children fame,
for sure,
as the amazing neighbor Marcy Darcy. Well, she became Darcy after she married Jefferson, but it was because it was something else first with the first guy. But continue, please.
Somebody I've never heard of, Roddy McDowell. I don't know who that is.
Oh, Roddy McDowell.
Stephen Jeffries is Evil Ed. Who could forget?
Which
him?
I don't know. You can't forget Evil Ed. I don't know if he went on to do, you know, or is he kind of like an Eddie Munster that this is kind of it and he just rides it, you know, probably doing the convention stuff. I would.
Hell yeah, if I was, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what his IMDb was like outside of this. Clearly, he never blew up to be a megastar, but he is funny as shit in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, dude, that's about it. They credit Christopher Lee because he was on the television.
As you fucking should. Respect where respect is due, homie.
Respect where respect is due. And then, like you said, written and directed by Tom Holland. Do you want to know what this movie, according to IMDb, is about?
Yes.
Here it comes. A teenager believes that the newcomer in his neighborhood is a vampire. He turns to an actor in a television horror show for help to deal with the undead.
Not bad.
It's to the point.
Just like this movie is, though. It starts right off and it gets to the fucking point. But before we even talk about this movie itself, the box art for this scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Great box art. Yeah.
So this would have been 86. So I was probably like 87, something, 5, 6 years old in the video store, looking at that scary cloud vampire over this ideal suburban home.
Yeah.
And it's still so good.
So good.
And one of the things that I think makes it great is we get that actual vampire in the movie.
Yeah.
It's not a tease.
Right.
It's not a little like, oh, yeah, you want to see something scary? We're never going to show it to you. No, they put their whoever did the special effects on this. I don't know, but they put the budget definitely into the effects, because this is an effects heavy splatter fest with a little bit of sprinkling of sexy on top. This was kind of our first, you know, Christopher Lee was sexy in his own weird way. And I think Dracula has always been portrayed as sexy or has the ability to put you under some kind of trance, but this is like pure HBO late night, like guitars and shit, softcore porn coming,
like some Skinamax.
Yeah. So this was a different kind of sexy. But we open right up to dialogue happening. Not much. We don't know it's a movie, but it kind of sounds like it. You can hear the acting in it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Slow pan up the side of a house, and we get into, and what's his name? Or now I can't even remember our main homie's name.
Let's see. Let me pull it up real quick. Charlie Brewster.
Charlie Brewster. What a piece of shit, Brewster. So Charlie's up in his house with Amanda, his girlfriend, Amanda Beast. Can't remember her name either. I'm just going to call them their names, whatever.
Do it, yeah.
So he's up there with her. They're on the floor making out. We pan across a super big bed that's all nice and made. I'm like, dude, be a little more comfy. Maybe, I don't know, hiding from your mom. But how do you explain that? We fell on the floor.
Dude, I used to pull that shit all the time. Like, I was always on the side of the bed. She was like wearing big skirts sitting on my lap, and my mom would walk in like my dick was in a girl and I'm talking to my mom.
Dude, yes. Terrible. I would never want to be in that situation. My mom did catch my brother. I'll never forget this one time, my younger brother sneaking a girl out the basement window. Well, first he was kind of like helping her get up there a little bit. My mom came down there and found him. And she's like, this isn't a bar or a whorehouse. Get your stuff and get out. And I was like, damn, dude. Like, that dagger had to cut deep.
Yeah, man.
It's like, man. And my brother's laughing. He's fucking like under his breath, kind of like chuckling. Like, damn it, Corey. So back to the movie. He's like, we've been dating for a year. Why won't you let me have any sex? Da 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 da. She's like, oh, Charlie. He gets distracted. She's ready to do it, and he gets distracted. And he just keeps staring out the window. He sees people moving in, and he sees them moving in with the coffin. We got two dudes who are moving in. He's moving in with a coffin, and she's like, Charlie, I'm ready to make love. And he's like, oh, whatever, dude. I don't know.
Whatever. I got new neighbors.
Right. We got new neighbors. She's like, fine. Fuck you, Charlie. Gathers up all her things, takes off, or no, gets downstairs. And I think that's when they start talking to Charlie's mom. And he's like, hey, there's people moving in outside. And now he's peeking around downstairs. And she's like, good night, Charlie. And he won't even look at her. He's like, oh, yeah, cool. Talk to you later. Bye. He's obsessed with this idea that, to be fair, he's watching vampire movies all the time on TV. He's watching this character that we were introduced to, Peter Vincent, which is, I hope, you know, a nod to like Peter Cushing and Vincent Price or something. Who knows? But he watches this late night horror host. I'm a huge fan of the late night horror host. Huge fan of the idea. I was watching one last night. I watch it every Saturday night. There's still a guy that does it on MeTV called Sven Gulli. And he shows cool shit every Saturday night, talks about it, makes jokes, plays little songs and shit. And it's cool. And last night, weird, it was Vincent Price was on with Comedy of Terrors, with one of the last movies that, shit, now I can't remember. Josh would kill me because he's an iconic German actor from the 30s. Little guy, talked funny. He's great anyway. The next day, I think we go to school pretty quick. He doesn't see the woman. No, the woman shows up at his house and knocks on the door and says, hey, is this such and such address? And he's like, oh, no, it's next door. And she's clearly supposed to be a call girl of some sort. She's dressed real nice, winking at him and shit, playing the game. And he's like, oh, man. He gets to... They go to school, and that's where we meet up with Evil Ed. And he really, it's Ed, right? Evil Ed. And he's terrible.
He's the worst friend ever. No.
If, I mean, you and I had met all them years ago, whatever it's been now, 7-ish years, 8 years, who knows. And you started acting like that toward me, I'd be like, I don't want to be friends with this guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who would full on try to fuck your girlfriend through the entire relationship.
Right. Yeah. And he's constantly making fun of this dude because when they're at school, he's talking to her and she throws some milkshake or something in his face or hits him with a cheeseburger and he's got shit all over him. He's like, Brewster, fucking chump bitch, Brewster. And he does this throughout the whole movie, right up until he gets turned into a vampire. He really is just a
even then, he's a worse piece of shit.
Right. Great effects. Great effects.
Supernatural piece of shit now.
He really is. It's the day after and Charlie sees on the news. He sees that woman that had come up to his house and said, I'm looking for so-and-so.
He sees them full on fucking against the window. Remember?
Yeah. I thought that was the other girl. I thought there was two women he had killed. Like maybe one with him. But and the blonde one, I feel like he just heard the scream like, ah.
Right.
And then he sees it on the news and gets a hold of the detective and says, hey, I think this guy's a fucking murderer.
Remember in the 80s when it was like, okay, to creep on your neighbors? It wasn't weird to have a telescope in your window.
Not at all. Not at all. Because he was when he catches Sarandon with and what's his name? Jerry Dandridge or Jerry.
He's Jerry the Power Bottom is what he is.
Yeah, he is. But he catches him in the window, like you said, and he makes this crazy eye contact with him. And we see these long fingers with long nails, and he's very menacing. And he did see the fangs. He saw him go to bite her, and then he pulls the shade down. And it's very porny, man. Like you said, Skinamax, you know, HBO late at night, all of them late at night for a while there in the late 80s, early 90s. And then you got to scrambly porn at some point if you couldn't, if your dad wasn't a pervert. You have now he's super convinced. He calls the detective, hey, and this is another 80s thing where you could just call a detective and be like, yo, somebody's a murderer.
Yeah, they'll just come right over to your house, dude, and do an investigation.
The little kid in Monster Squad got the whole fucking army with crayons.
Yeah, dude. That was the 80s, baby. It was a wild time.
Monsters took over my town. Please send army. Where is he? Where's Eugene? Where's the boy? Where's the monsters? Oh, sir, we took care. Oh, we got any monsters going on.
Yeah, dude.
The movie is so fucking like Shane Black at his best. Okay, so back to Fright Night, though. The detective does end up going over there, and Jerry's real smooth with men, with women. He's got this suave, that 80s. But this was the transition point. I feel like, you know, Tom Atkins was sexy at one time and Sarandon was a very sexy man, but he was still an older man, like an older sexy from the Westerns that people remembered. Whereas next week we already determined we're doing a double feature vampires. We're going to bring the Lost Boys to it. And I think this is where we move to the younger,
right?
Really kind of cool, fucking edgy,
cool, sexy vampires.
Cool, sexy vampires. Whereas this guy's Magnum PI in a lot of ways. It feels, you know, the dress, everything is. But he's still a very beautiful man.
He is, dude. He has a weird jawline that makes me want to like rub a long nail down it. And a thick, thick head of hair.
Beautiful head of hair. Yeah. I have no head of hair.
I'm losing it right now. So,
and he does have a beautiful head of hair.
Still does. What the fuck?
Well, there's probably a lot of them. I would say there's some probably money in that. There's a little bit of vanity that comes with Hollywood that I think you look at Mickey Rourke looks like fucking a carrot top, you know, There's vanity that comes with Hollywood, but hopefully his hair is supernatural. I hope to think Willie Nelson.
Too, yeah. Still, he's got that fucking, I forgot, he's got that Disney Nightmare Before Christmas money. So,
oh, yes. Yeah. That's a good payday. The licensing on that has been the biggest.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah. Between Hot Topic and like Spirit and shit, like, man.
Everything. Back to Fright, because we'll start talking about Spirit. Back to Fright Night. The detective doesn't believe him. At this point, nobody believes him. He tries to convince. Well, first, his mom invites him in. He comes over. Jerry comes to the house. Oh, I had him in. He's like, oh, yeah, your mom invited me.
I think he wants to fuck his mom, too.
I think he wants to fuck everything. He just seems like, you know, vampires seem very, they don't give a shit.
It's true. And I was thinking about it, too. Like, you wouldn't fuck a delicious sandwich. Or a cheeseburger, or stick your dick in a... Well, maybe you'd stick your dick in a milkshake, but what I'm saying is you don't fuck your food, but vampires do.
That is true. Sometimes, though, with the girl upstairs, I don't think... Because I feel like he was more in a relationship with his familiar. It seemed like those two were...
Yeah, dude.
That was a very tight relationship. But with the woman in the window, he bit her like he was going to bite her, you know, before she was barely undressed. Like she had just taken her bra off. So maybe he's not having sex with the food before he eats it.
Not always. But when he's trying to like get in there, create that right. I'm going to eat you relationship. Well, then it's a call girl. That's easy. You just call her over. She comes over. You have a snack. But like, yeah. But I felt like his passion, his love was his familiar.
Yes. And it is a good relationship. They play off each other well. Cops don't believe. Nobody believes. I don't remember. He shows up in Charlie's room, like full on.
Yeah. He just like tells Charlie right away. He's like, I am a fucking vampire. You're right. I'm going to fuck your life up.
Well, first he does give him the choice. He's like, bro, you can forget about all this shit that you've ever seen. I'll leave you the fuck alone. And I thought that was cool because this is a departure from the Dracula that just ate everybody, right. The Christopher Lee and the Van Helsing, Peter Cushing, or vice versa, whoever was playing what role at the time. He gave him this opportunity and says, hey, I will let you go. And he's like, no, can't happen or something. And he's like, you fucking dummy. And then they, I want to say, puts a cross on him, up to him. He does pull a cross out, and that's when he shrinks back a little to the corner.
And that was a crazy effect.
Yeah, all the effects in this movie are really well done. And his mom's banging from her door's locked. He used vampire magic. Locked her door. Hey, Charlie, what's going on, Charlie? He dips out the window because he hears the mom, and I guess he's like, that's it. And but he tells him, like, hey, this shit ain't over. You know, you made your bed. Now you got to lay in it with me and my familiar. It's going to be good.
Big spoon, little spoon, big spoon.
Right. And at what time, though, does he see Charlie's girlfriend? Does he see Amanda Beast? Because that's when he recalls that it looks like the woman who he had from a famous painting, which is weird, dude. I don't know if you can see it, but I actually have it right there hanging up. I was watching
that's
the movie.
What that is? I've seen that so many times.
Found it at an antique store, along with that original old school Gone with the Wind poster. But yeah, when I was watching the movie, I was like, fuck, I know that. That's been hanging up in there forever. So now he is infatuated with her. And I want to say his familiar had seen her as well and was like, oh, my goodness, it looks just like her. Da da da. They have a plan to, and Peter Vincent, we learned throughout this, is down on his luck. He's living in an apartment with an eviction notice on the door, got some memorabilia and shit around. Charlie has talked to Evil and his girlfriend. They went along with the story, but only to try and get Charlie some help. They're like, oh, sure, sure. They don't fully believe this is a vampire thing yet. So they go to Peter Vincent and, can you please help us? You know, our buddies, whatever, crazy. We just wanted to make sure. I don't want to lose my boyfriend to this guy. And we want to make sure that he's okay. So Vincent agrees to it, I think, for some money, because he's like, you want some autographs? I don't remember what it was.
He's very reluctant at first. He's like, I don't want to have any part of this.
Yeah, he's hesitant, and he doesn't believe it anyway.
Right, because he's a sham.
He goes and talks to Jerry and says, will you do this for us? No crosses, no holy water. He says, it'll only be tap water. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Now they're all going to go over there together and confront Jerry and his familiar. Doesn't go as planned. Again, nobody really believes, right up until Peter Vincent takes his mirror out at the end and goes to look at himself when they're about to leave the house, right, and doesn't see the reflection,
right,
of Sarandon.
He's like, oh, cool. Shit.
Yeah. I got to go. Get the fuck out of here really quick. Old dude takes off. Charlie catches up to him, and he saw it in his face and says something along the lines of, look, old man, you got to tell me. Please tell me I'm not crazy.
Right.
You got to let me know what you saw in that mirror. Whatever. Nothing. They end up reconnecting later. But at this point, Evil's going to go. Did they go get something to eat? Maybe. Somehow they end up before the club. I know they end up outside together and Evil takes off down the alley. And this is where we lose Evil.
Yeah, yeah. He winds up getting it in an alleyway.
Yeah, he did. I think Jerry might have known, or maybe the familiar knew, that Peter Vincent had not seen him in the mirror. Somehow there was a connection, but they pick up on Evil first, and Evil's like, oh, I'm scared to go down the alley by myself. It'll be fine. He gets into the alley. Jerry shows up, very trench coaty, backlit, smoky and foggy, just beautiful.
Like a 80s Michael Bolton music video.
This whole thing, I love the back lots and shit where you can, right, see, you know, the roundabout of their house or whatever. Clearly, backlot, and I really like it. I like the studio look from time to time. So, yes, very Michael Bolton. You ain't kidding.
Now, we have to think that Jerry has been on Earth for quite some time. We never get that backstory, but like, he's probably been through this once or twice. I feel like as a vampire, when you've lived so long, you're just bored and you just want to fuck with people. Like, this is a reason to go out at night.
Probably miserable. Immortality, yeah, would be miserable.
It would be the worst, dude, because just fucking would be boring. You'd be like, I fucked everything, dude. I fucked boys, dogs, sheep.
Until space travel became
possible. And then yeah, it would when you're be a like, space okay, vampire, then...
Shoot me. There's a whole, have you ever seen Life Force?
No, I never have. And I just listened to Phil's episode on it. And I was like, this sounds crazy. I should watch this.
It's a crazy movie. It's not a great movie. In one of my most recent Monster magazines, there was a whole expose on it. And I was like, this is cool though. I've seen it a few times, but it is fucking wild. It's wild. It is space vampires. Evil is cowering down in a pile of trash, crying like, I just want to be accepted. And it's like, no, dude, you're the worst human ever. You can't have this crazy redemption arc right at the end. You're a piece of shit. You've been a piece of shit. I think you and Sean both said that. You like a movie where there is no redemption at the end.
Yeah.
Or a character arc where there's no, you know, let them be exactly who they were. But we do get Evil Vampire, and he's fucking cool. He's rad.
Yeah.
He gets sent immediately to fight or kill Peter Vincent because he shows up at his apartment, right? Vincent's packing up to kick rocks.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. There's vampires in this town.
And this dude, like you said, his entire career was predicated on these vampire movies and being a vampire hunter, knowing all the stuff.
Right.
How you have... A very Van Helsing. He even dresses like Van Helsing.
I would love to see a remake of this with Bruce Campbell playing that character. You know, it's like the old washed up actor. He kind of did one called My Name is Bruce, where he played like a guy. Yeah.
But give me Bubba Hotep too. Oh, I like old Bruce Campbell. I like old Bruce playing an old man. And now Bruce, you're old.
Yeah.
You can do it. Dude. Like, make it happen. So Peter Vincent, and at first Evil Ed's like, it's too late for me, motherfucker. And tells them, you know, I don't know what he tells him, but either way, they get into a confrontation. Want to say he burns the cross into his head. This is where, dude, it gets.
That was a nasty wet effect. Like when you wet an effect, it makes it grosser somehow. And I'll also say this about the vampire teeth in this. They didn't give a fuck if the actors were uncomfortable. This has the gnarliest vampire teeth out of any vampire movie.
Reminds me, without CGI.
Right.
Without,
no, yeah, these practical. Were big old fucking dentures these guys had to wear.
Huge. It, you ever see the old pictures of Lon Chaney Sr. when he'd do his own makeup and like hook his mouth back to like around his head and like cinch that shit up for the man who laughs or whatever?
Oh my
God. Dude just brought his own kit to the set and was like, yeah, I'll be a fan of the opera. Give me an hour. Fucking did all the iconic monsters, silent era monsters, but right. Did them all by himself.
That's crazy. Fucking,
yeah, really is. The idea of, you know, being on a set and somebody shows up like, I'll make a monster of myself. Hang on. The days are gone. The effects in this are really good, like you said. And after their confrontation, Evil gets, he jumps out the window or somehow takes off. He's gone. And we're at the club because they are trying to get somewhere public, I believe, was the idea. So Charlie and Amanda are into the club. He shows up and we get this.
Sexy, dude.
How could you get any sexier?
It just oozes in this scene, dude. Whenever you had the dance club scene in an 80s movie, you were like, all right, now we're in the shit, dude.
Okay, which dance scene was sexier in the movies we've talked about so far? This or Billy Zane and Jada Pinkett Smith in Demon Knight?
Ooh, shit. You know, I got to say, so I got to do this movie at Comic-Con with Chris Sarandon being there as like the guest of honor. And I did a whole montage of monster sex, dude. And I realized like 99% of it was vampires. Everybody wants to fuck a vampire.
That David Bowie, dude. That's like one of that movie's got some iconic.
Yeah, dude. But From Dusk Till Dawn was all sexy.
There is the idea in the lore of penetration, though. The very idea of, no, this is established.
That's words.
Think gross. About what's happening, dude. Like, they're penetrating your neck and draining your actual life. And right. If you think about the idea of a female virgin, the penetration, the bleeding, like, it is closely tied. There is a whole fucking thing I watched on horror about just, like, knives and stuff and the way they were placed in a lot of slasher movies was always so phallic and shit like that. Really? But the idea of the vampire, you know, draining your actual life force, but there has to be a penetration in order for that to happen. It's not, and there's usually, you know, penetration with knives, penetration with everything, but it is closely tied to sex, whereas vampires, I feel like, have always been portrayed as sexy. Not like Nosferatu and shit. Like, that wasn't sexy. That was scary. Still scary as fuck. That movie's over 100 years old or some shit now. Still terrifying. That fucking... even on SpongeBob, like, oh, Nosferatu. Good, but yes, this dance floor scene is incredibly... 80s sexy foggy slow music. She falls under the spell and Charlie's like, no, you can't take my girl. He's like, fuck you, little man, and then goes full vampire in the club and starts launching people all over the
yeah,
cool, dude. This was a time of club horror, like Hellraiser 3 had that club scene where all the CDs and shit and records are cutting people's head off. And it was a good time.
Terminator, dude. You didn't go to a club without shit getting fucked up by some supernatural being.
Not even a biker club. There he goes.
I need to close your boots and your motorcycle.
So good. I can't let you take that man's bike, son. Fuck you.
Fuck you, asshole.
He did that good zombie movie. Did you watch Maggie? Was it Maggie?
Yeah, dude. That was a cool movie.
It's a great one. At the club, he seduces Amanda. They end up going back to his house where he's going to make her his vampire queen. Charlie reconnects up with Peter Vincent.
Yeah, because now Peter knows what's up. He's like, I just almost had to murder your friend. And he was like, man, that bitch has had it coming for years.
Bring me the head next time. You know that alligator that got your hands? So they first go to Charlie's house. His mom is working nights or something like that. Evil shows up, transforms into a wolf, which is really cool. At first, yeah, they're at Charlie's house. He turns into a wolf. They have this really cool long down the hallway, which was a scary, like that'd be scary as fuck, dude, to have a wolf coming at you like that. An old man, Peter Vincent, picks up a piece of the busted banister, holds it up in the air, gets the wolf in the gut or in the heart. Wild transformation at the bottom of the stairs.
Woo.
We didn't need to see this.
No, but it was awesome.
Right. This was the era of an American werewolf. Everybody was chasing John Landis and those Rick Baker. I better be right that it was Rick Baker that did those effects. But everybody's chasing these transforming werewolves, and it's super cool. Like you said, visceral. It's slimy, yeah. And you get evil on the ground like, dead, finally. Now Peter and Charlie are going to go over to Jerry's house and face down the man.
Take out the Peter's trash.
Peter's got a bunch of, yeah, they got the stash, some holy water, maybe some steaks, maybe, I don't know. They got a bunch of stuff, though. He just grabbed all the shit from the set.
Yeah.
That was laying around his house. That this was pre-eBay. Peter Vincent would have been okay if he lived in the eBay world.
Oh, yeah, dude. You got to make your own steaks back then.
Right.
Yeah. And where'd you get holy water? Like, he just had to go to a church and, like, dip in the little fucking...
That's how they always do it in the montage. They did it in Lost Boys. They did it in Monster Squad. Just ran into the church. Fill it up.
Monster Squad's got the greatest montage, dude. He goes and, like, steals the bow and arrow and shit.
Oh, shout out to you, drop to get into your heart. Something like, oh, it is so good. He's making bullets in shop class, pouring silver.
Yeah, the teacher like doesn't even notice.
Making ammunition at school.
And why did they have
smoke cigarettes? Rudy was an adult. The shop teacher was probably scared of Rudy.
Oh, for sure he was, dude. Rudy had to make the mold for the bullets. And the shop teacher's like, what you making, Rudy?
But he still wanted to be in Monster Club, which was super
cool. Put a cigarette out on the shop teacher's jacket. He's like, why don't you mind your own business, shop teacher?
Right. Like, dude and Christine, like, huh? You want to fucking put the knife on him? We're okay. We're into four or five different movies now. Let's go back to Fright Night because we are at the climax of this thing. And I hear my kid out there yelling, bro. I love it. So. Cool building, cool house, dope foyer that leads to a giant stairwell, that like the Resident Evil foyer almost.
Yeah, dude, totally.
On a smaller scale, if you were to shrink that down, if you're looking for a visual. That opening, the first Resident Evil. We have Jerry and his familiar who are there. Peter tries to hold up a cross, and Jerry laughs in his face. He's like, ha ha, it doesn't, you know, work if you don't have faith or something like that, and pushes him way far away or some shit. Charlie tries to do something. Jerry goes back for Amanda or tells him something, like, you know, somehow he figures out some shit about Amanda or he gets hurt. It's, I think Charlie's faith was able to get him to be like, ah! Right. shrink back into the
that was great for a podcast. No one saw that.
Listen to your laugh. It was good. If you could bring a laugh to it, it don't matter. So he takes off to go make sure Amanda's, because he turned her. He did not kill her. And she's laying on this fucking bearskin rug. Even Shayna looked at it when I was watching it the other day. She's like, damn, the 80s were fucking cool.
They're crazy, like, dude. Everybody wanted that bearskin rug, dude.
Everybody.
And she's all in that white silk dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the bears started doing cocaine, dude, because everybody was killing them for all the, they're like, we got to get faster. We got to get quicker, man.
I'm more than a rug. I'm a beautiful creature.
I'm more than a rug. I want to draw a little cute bear with a sign that says I'm more than a rug.
Totally, I like dude.
Totally. Fright Night, 1985. I'm more than a rug. What the fuck? How does that make any sense? They get in the fight with Familiar. I don't remember exactly how he dies. He gets shot a bunch of fucking times and keeps walking back. But at some point, he does take one in the heart. And I want to say that's it, right? For him. And he just dies down there. But then Sarandon sees him and fucking like sheds a tear and
yeah,
shit.
Dude, like, he's like, that's my boy.
Right. Like, I love this man
That'd
so
be
much.
Like if Guillermo died, dude, you'd be so sad.
Like, poor Guillermo. What's his name? Guillermo.
Yeah, it's called Gizmo. I love it.
I used to jack off on your bed all the time under the stairs, that old ass familiar that came back. This shit is good, dude. Guillermo, you're not sitting on my coffin, are you? We can do what we do in the shadows one day because, man, the movie is top notch. Yes. The series is fantastic as well, but that movie is top notch.
Yes.
So we get upstairs. Amanda Beast is waking up, and like you said, this flowy, silky, see-through negligee for the most part, off the bear skin, and hasn't gone full vampire yet, but we see that she's a vampire. She's got, you know, little teeth, crazy eyes, hair poofy, big hair in the 80s. Yeah,
all I could think during this whole sequence is she's a high school girl.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. Maybe they were seniors just about to graduate, hopefully. Hopefully, Tom Holland. After this, they were like, you can only make movies about dolls. Yeah. No more fucking kids.
No more fucking kids. God damn.
It's like, what's his name? Jeepers Creepers, man. That guy should have never got let back in.
No.
He went to his coffin. That was it. Like, he got injured somehow, and Jerry goes to his coffin. Now she's on the rampage, wants to turn Charlie so they can be together forever. He stakes her at one point, or Peter Vincent stakes her, but somehow she takes one, right? I want to say she takes one.
I don't remember that.
Because somehow she gets incapacitated. I don't remember, but up until the point where Jerry dies, because that's when she comes back. Because the spell is oh shit, my computer's not even plugged in. Power mode. Hang on, give me one second. But what the hell?
I've been talking this whole time to myself. I haven't even plugged this in.
There it goes. Okay, now it's it was like your computer's about to shut off. It's got 10% battery left. And just leave that shit in, dude. Don't even cut it out. It's better that way.
I bet Shayna just comes in sometimes and you're just like on your mic talking to nobody and she's so worried.
It's like, the fucking screen, the no broadcast screen, just staring at it on my computer.
Yo, remember that shit? That was hilarious.
Good, honey. Good.
You're going to bed. Okay, good night. I'm just going to finish this podcast.
You've been there for 5 days. The kids haven't seen you. You stink like shit. What's wrong with you? No, right now my house smells like corned beef and cabbage, dude. It's been slow cooking since this morning.
My wife was like, you want corned beef? And I was like, fuck no, I don't believe in those pagan rituals.
You stop it, sir. Slow cooked corned beef with potatoes, cabbage. We get this final confrontation of Sarandon. We see Jerry with a window behind him, and slowly the sun is coming up. We see a transition in color. He's full crazy vampire face. We did see her full crazy vampire face from the cover of the movie, the poster, the original box art. They get him into the attic somehow. He's trying to go somewhere and hide to get away from the sun, and they start busting up pieces very From Dusk Till Dawn. I feel like From Dusk Till Dawn took this shit, dude, that I'm thinking about it.
For sure.
They start shooting holes in the walls. Maybe a disco ball. There was some sort of cascading light.
Right, yeah.
Bouncing off a broken mirror or something. But yeah, there was some sort of cascading light. And Jerry goes full vampire fucking wings, looking like that thing from The Golden Child, the monster.
Yeah.
It gets pinned up against the wall and starts burning into a puddly mess. Amanda Beast comes back. I want to say they're fooling around at the end. His mom's like, oh, what happened? I don't know. Neighbors moved out. Oh, that's crazy. There was no cops showed up. They showed up just because you called and said, but they didn't show up for a bunch of fucking chaos all over the place. Especially like 5:30 in the morning. A lot of people are getting up around that time.
Yeah, yeah. You know? There's like an exploding bat next door and fire blowing out the fucking windows. And everybody's like, I don't know, man. It's the 80s.
I got to get the fucking work. I was on cocaine all night. I've been up for 3 days.
I was in this fucking, I was in this fucking nightclub last night, and there's crazy shit. People were screaming and running. The Terminator showed up.
Empire, the Terminator, Hellraiser. There were centipedes everywhere.
And now I got to go to my job at Circuit City. How am I supposed to do this?
Perfect. Okay. Almost roll credits. But right before we get our little teaser for a sequel, they're up there fooling around, Charlie and Amanda. They got Peter Vincent on TV or something like that. He looks out the way. He thinks he sees something across the street in the window where he originally seen Jerry kill that woman.
Right.
He thinks he sees a couple of red eyes, very much Amityville Horror kind of very red much, eyes yeah. out the window. She's like, oh, what is it, Charlie? Oh, it's nothing. And he goes back to fooling around with her. Camera pan back to black window. See the red eyes. Hear the laugh of evil Ed. You know, set it up for a fucking sequel. So how was your I listened to the podcast that you guys did, but how was the response to this movie even in that setting? I mean, it's got a big cult following. Huge cult following.
Yeah, no, it was good because we got the shittiest time slot. Like literally it was like Sunday night at like 8 o'clock and Comic-Con closed at like 6:30. So like we were like security was locking up and we're doing our show, but we had a really good turnout and we had this one dude who came in, man. And this guy was a Fright Night, like fanatic, like knew the movie inside and out. He sat front row and center, dude. And when I said that Jerry was having sex with his familiar, that dude lost his Trumpin' mind. Like he was so upset that I said Jerry might be a little homosexual.
Dude, he's a vampire that's been around forever.
Oh,
you can only reach the limits of taste before you just, you know what I mean, fall into. And that's somebody he lived with, but that is hilarious because you do have those fans that are like, no way, not a fucking Black April O'Neil. I'm like, what the fuck are you? Who cares? Just make good quality movies and I'll be fine with that.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a fun time though. And like I said, I did that monster fucking montage and the whole audience, the lights came back up, dude, and everybody's mouths were just agape. They were like, 5 minutes in, I was with you, dude. But after 10, we were just like, this is getting a bit much. And I was like, look how many monsters fucked.
Oh, dude. That is amazing, though. It was. And this guy's a little worried. Anyway, so out of 5 sexy Jerrys, how many do you give Fright Night?
I would give this 3.5 sexy Jerrys because it is a fun movie. It, like you said, it's a lot of these movies in the 80s like really took their time to get going. And this thing just picks right up with the action. Right away, we're seeing crazy monster effects and stuff. So I give it that. But it is kind of a silly movie.
In a lot of ways. And I think we got one direct sequel back then that maybe straight to VHS.
There was 3 for sure. Fright Night.
3?
Yeah.
Well, I know there's the remake and then the sequel to the remake too, because there was the one with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
And after that, I want to say a female lead. Yeah, I don't really remember a ton of that one, but there is a big enough audience for this thing. For me, I go 4 out of 5 sexy Jerrys.
Dang.
Only because I think if you were to give someone a sampling of 10 80s horror movies.
Yeah.
This one is still fun. Yeah. The effects are still really good. Yeah. It could be a good sampling of what, like you said, the excessive, the fast, the cocaine driven filmmaking. Right. We're just like, get to the fucking point right now. Yeah. Cut that all that dialogue out of the fucking script. Let's go. Show me Chucky. I want him in a fucking box. Like voodoo. 1:45. It's got to be voodoo. Yeah. Into the movie. Yeah, and I think it's just, like you said, it's fun. You got some great performances, some cool characters. For me, being a big effects guy, that lends heavily into this. I just love seeing cool special effects. There's something rad about it. I don't know. I like it. I was thinking about trying to find the sequels, but then I was like, if I haven't remembered it, that fondly? Or dude, is it like Evil Ed Returns?
I just looked it up on IMDb, dude, and like the it's got the guy, the main guy in it instead of Jerry is the killer from Cobra with Stallone.
That is, I need to watch Cobra because that's the second time I've heard somebody say Cobra in as many days.
That's a badass movie, dude.
That whole end, just the fucking shootout in the desert.
Yeah, dude.
Talk about an 80s. We could do a whole nother podcast on action movies, and I'd be super fine with that, too.
Yeah, dude.
Even just in the 80s, because that shit was fucking raw deal. If I go over the top, turn that motherfucking hat around, boy.
It's like I become like a robot.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, dude. Action pop extravaganza coming at you soon.
I'd be so down. We just have to make sure we recorded a couple each time so we could just have it set a day and find a way to bring them together. Find a common thread that could bring the things together, which isn't super hard. If you ever played the Kevin Bacon game, the 6 degrees or whatever, you can find a common thread pretty quick, but could still be fun. Maybe we'll talk. I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows what the future will bring.
Right. I love action movies. I could get you watching like so many kung fu movies and shit. Old
fuck
Shaw
it, dude.
Brothers.
We could do comedy pop extravaganza, drama pop extravaganza,
musical pop extravaganza. All right. So normally this is the part of the show where we would jump into a little bit of mindfulness, a little bit of peacefulness. I'm just going to say here, you know, breathe that shit out. Try and put some good into the world, but every once in a while, we're going to have to change it up and talk about something else because two Jasons in my life both sent me a message around the same time. The first Jason, I think his maiden name was Clint Tiddler.
Clint Torres.
And then my other Jason sends me same said trailer. It's like, yo, this looks super dope. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, I know where this is going.
I mean, it was a few hours later. So I want to take this. I don't care how long it takes us to talk about this. I want to talk about the trailer that was released for the reimagining, reboot, I don't know what you want to call it, remake of the Bill Skarsgård starring The Crow.
You and I, let's preface this with that we are the two huge Crow fans. Like, we've never given up on it. It's been 30 years and we still love it like it came out yesterday.
We have. Like, I don't go back. I'll watch City of Angels every once in a while. But, you know, Tara Reid and all that, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm Corey, Edward Furlong, right?
That was Edward Played Furlong and Tara Reid in that one.
Ever read in that one. I've read the comic books. There has been, sorry, my dog, probably my older two kids are here, which is sweet. I love seeing my fucking kids. That's another thing you could do for yourself. Be nice to your family. That shit goes so far. Just be kind to your fucking family. Treat them like real people, not. Anyway, so this trailer drops. You send it to me immediately. I look at the, we were already kind of upset about the tattoos. This was the Joker with Jared Leto all over again. And that was not a generational thing. Across the board,
right?
Most people are like, fuck that Joker. Yeah. And it's nothing against Jared Leto. He's a great talent. Mm-hmm. Just fuck that Joker. People didn't like it. Especially when you're trying to follow a performance that was undeniably unreal, out of this world. I saw it pop up on Max the other day. I was like, I need to revisit soon because The Dark Knight is a fucking, if you were to take a sampling of superhero movies for somebody to look at, that's one of them. 100% every single time, The Dark Knight. So that Joker sucked. They were like, yo, you remember that Joker that sucked? Let's make The Crow look like
this. Yeah. Like, nobody liked the Joker, Jared Leto's Joker. Nobody liked it. And then they're like, let's do another thing like that.
Maybe Machine Gun Kelly did, and he was the only one.
He's like, shit, dude, I can relate to this Joker. He looks just like me. Megan Fox can play Harlequin.
Right. No, get Lady Gaga. You got that shit figured out good. Keep that for a while. So, but this Joker, and there is a trend right now going around it's not a big trend from what I can tell of ignorant tattoos where you get tattoos that are intentionally meant to look like shit.
That's real smart. Real smart, everyone.
I'm not going to weigh in on this either way from a tattoo standpoint, but maybe, but that audience seems so small.
Yeah.
So small.
Do you ever, do you have things that you will not tattoo? I have, my tattoo artist had like three rules that he would not tattoo. Sure.
Like no hate shit ever. Like if it's something to do with, you know, hating anybody, I would never do it. Probably no taints. There was a guy that wanted his taint tattoo, and I was like, no, I don't want to do a taint tattoo. I'm trying to think of the anything else. Really, just nothing super offensive. I wouldn't tattoo someone's face who is not tattooed all the way up to their neck with their hands all the way done. Right. I wouldn't tattoo their hands for the most part. Maybe something small, but you know, if they're pretty sleeved out or have quite a few tattoos. No, like kids. I would never tattoo a child.
Wait, awesome. I'm glad you have strong scruples. But like somebody who doesn't come in and be like, I want the dumbest fucking thing. And you're like, no, I'm not doing that.
I made stupid decisions in my youth. I'll let them do that sometimes. But 9 times out of 10, the people I see are like, yo, I did this dumb thing. Like, can you try and fix it for me? Please make this happen. Do you love The Crow, the original? Love, I think, again, you take a sampling of action movies from the 90s. I think The Crow would be, maybe not for everyone, but for a lot of people, a strong contender. I think I could make an argument for The Crow to be like right at the top as a movie that defined the 90s. We talk about the soundtrack, how good that was, the tragedy, the same thing with The Joker. You know, some of the tragedy of Brandon Lee is what solidified that role. It was the same thing with his dad in Enter the Dragon. Right before it came out, Bruce passes away. Right before this shit's done, you know, tragedy befalls this set. Then it becomes a cultural icon where people like us at the time were painting our faces up and shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know? I was The Crow way too many years in a row for Halloween.
Every year. I'll be The Crow next year.
I was until how they did that goddamn South Park episode where, like, the devil dressed up as The Crow because he wanted to get laid.
Right. Imagine though, now if we could go as The Crow, who else could we be from the movie that would be a good Ernie Hut? No, we couldn't do Ernie Hudson, be the cop.
Yeah, for very obvious reasons.
I just love his performance and that so much. I'm like, if there's a cool guy you want to be, it's Ernie Hudson from The Crow. Yeah. Maybe one of the T-Bird or somebody. T-Bird is cool. Because he always calls
Skank, dude.
Skank is cool. Really, any of them, or the sister. I'll go as the sister, dude. I'll dress up as her. Like, I like the pretty lights. Just have a little bowl with an eyeball in it with a fake fire on it or some shit. And you can be The Crow because I know you want to be The Crow.
Oh, thanks.
That's the kind of kind person I am, because you know everybody wants to be The Crow. If you're going to play The Crow.
Right.
Okay, so back to this trailer.
Not anymore. Yeah, I don't want to be The Crow anymore. Bill Skarsgård fucked it up.
And you can't blame Skarsgård because it's the writing. It's the production company. It's saying make it like this because this attracts to TikTok, attends to this direction or that direction. But Skarsgård could have watched the original and said no.
I would have. I would be like, the last guy that did this is dead. So no.
Well, no, he's not, because Furlong did it.
Furlong's pretty much dead. His career died.
You want to hear something crazy, dude? Limp Bizkit is coming to Detroit. It's Limp Bizkit, like one or two other bands. And then the fourth band was Corey Feldman.
Oh,
and
man.
And the Beatles. I might have to try and go.
I love watching his musical performances. Just like, he's just like pretending to be Michael Jackson. And then he like sings these really bad songs about how he's molested and stuff.
I watched one interview where he's like, I spent 10 years on this record cover. And I was like, oh shit, that looked like Microsoft Paint. But I hope the best for Corey Feldman. I really do. I like Corey Feldman. And next week we're going to be talking about Feldman.
Yeah,
we are. In a movie called The Lost Boys. But let's talk about this trailer, dude.
Yeah.
It opens up. I only watched it the one time. I told myself I wasn't going to go back and watch it again. But I remember it opening it up, and we have a long love sequence between Eric and Shelley.
Yeah.
We really establish the relationship. Where I feel I struggle the most with this movie is they were like, hey, John Wick's cool.
Yeah.
Why don't we make John Wick, but the Crow? And the CGI in this trailer, unless they're polishing it up right now, finishing everything off, it looks weak right now. The blood splatter looks weak. The idea of him, we see the graphic murder of them with plastic bags over their heads. And he's like, no, this can't happen. We go to some fantasy world, some Nordic shit, maybe. I don't know. The ferryman is coming to take him over or bury him somewhere. And then punches him or hits him into a fucking pond.
Yeah.
He's like, no, now I'm back. And he's some souls, you know, can't rest.
Well, yeah, you've got the little girl, not Shelley.
Shelley.
No, the little girl from the first one.
Yeah.
Sarah, the little girl from the first one. So you've got her voiceover being said by this old craggly old man. And I didn't like that at all. That felt like somebody raping my girlfriend in front of me.
Dang, that's intense, dude.
Yeah,
that's
that might have been a little much, but it was on that level.
That's I do feel those intense emotions for movies that I love so much. So, yeah, we do get that voiceover, but like you said, it's a weird, different place. We see him come back. I don't think we get the makeup until probably the very end.
Yeah, it looks like he's kind of got like essence of it. At one point, it looks like his eyes are bleeding and they kind of like do the face paint, but...
But he does put it on in the trailer. You see him slap it over his eyes, but that doesn't look like till the end. And he's got the sword, which we had seen, the trench coat, super big, like super we had seen weird. Before. It's more the Matrix.
Yeah.
I feel like the Crow, because for a lot of it, if you remember him running around before, because he didn't get the jacket until after he killed what's his face? Tintin.
Yeah.
Tintin done got himself perished. I love that motherfucker, dude. He's so good. So
fuck Tintin.
Right. Now we just jump into straight John Wick mode.
Yeah, he gets blasted with a shotgun and it looks like a missile went through his body.
And maybe they're using, who knows, special military grade.
No, ordnance. It's just dumb.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And a lot of supernatural, like bringing the birds in and shit that I don't know.
The way I knew Batman versus Superman was going to fucking suck was that it opens up with Bruce Wayne's parents getting killed, which is fucking stupid. And then the little Bruce Wayne floats with bats out of the hole. And the same thing is what I saw in this, him fucking spreading his arm and bats flying everywhere. And I was like, this fucking stupid. It's crows, of course, but... There was one crow, and they're just like, how can we make it better? Let's make lots of crows.
What if the crows had babies?
It's fucking stupid.
And that was the thing, right? Is that the crow carried the soul to the land of the dead.
Yeah, now there's so many crows. How many souls are we carrying here, people? Is this inflation? What is going on?
I have all the crows. Who needs a crow? You need a crow. You need a crow.
How much you want to bet a crow start killing people in this?
Oh, for sure.
Flying through chests and shit.
We saw a little bit of that in the original when the crow attacks old girl and plucks her fucking eyeball out of her head.
Yeah, which was cool.
One crow
to rule them all.
One crow. And it is 1994, I think. Three or four. Either way. The John Wickiness and Jason Bourne-iness.
Ugh.
The pull shots through tight corridors. Mm-hmm. I love it in a John Wick movie. But yeah. That's because Keanu Reeves is a fucking super, I don't know, amazing. He's maybe a divine being. Right. He might be.
I think
I don't know how else to say it. He's a fucking angel.
Yeah.
Who's here to do cool things. But in this, nothing excited me about it.
Nope.
The lighting, it was so bright. For so much of it.
So it just doesn't look right. The crow was, they built a world around it that made you believe the story. This is just right. Like, nope, it's just John Wick world with the crow in it.
Right. And it's not dark. The comics was just black ink on white paper. The original film was super dark, save for the glowing of building fires all over the city of Detroit on Devil's Night.
Right.
They mention the one thing that was the last nail in the coffin for me on this trailer was them mentioning being able to bring Shelley back. You can do something. No, he goes into the grave with her and they go off to eternity and they are spectral, amazing people together. And the clouds break and the sun comes down on Sarah and it can't rain all the time.
That's fucking right, dude.
How do you make it? That eliminates the need for him to be like, everybody should be able to come back then. If the possibility is there to change it.
The whole point of the story is that life is the bad part and that you're going to go on to something better. And he doesn't want to bring her back to life. He wants to get this over with so that he can be in the afterlife with her.
Because it's been a year. I don't know if this has been a full year. I think it had been a year. We even get some of the same lines when he puts the gun in the window, like, I killed you, man. Who, you know, so they're trying, I guess, to pull some of that stuff in, but you can't recapture that, you know, you're dead, man. There ain't no coming back, man. There ain't no coming back, man. Yeah,
that was outrageous and weird, but it made it awesome.
It made it more comic booky. This is a comic book movie. And to be fair, I haven't kept up on modern Crow comics. I don't know what they're doing with a lot of modern Crow comics. Maybe this is exactly it, and we are assholes.
No, but we're right, and they're wrong. And I'm telling you that. I've never been so sure of it in my life.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you.
Even if I could almost accept this if they didn't call it the Eric Draven and Shelley Webster story, because I watched all the crappy Crow sequels, and you know what? They each have their own merits. Nothing even came close to the original, but I understand. But that's the thing, is that this storyline can take you to any point in time and any kind of, like, they could have done a Western Crow, a Nordic Crow, a Native American Crow. Anything would have been better than what they've done.
I love the idea of a Native American Crow.
How cool would that fucking be, dude?
And you're right, though. You can. It's like Doctor Who. Keep reinventing that shit. And you can. Yeah, and Native American would be so cool because of, you know, the symbology of...
Yes.
The symbolism.
Yes.
Symbology. He's like, what the... Sorry, I'm going down a Boondock Saints hole now. He's like, what the fuck did you just say? Symbolism. Defoe. We got to do a whole episode on Defoe. But you're right. You could have gone in any direction, but to call it Eric Draven, I get it. It's staying more true to the source material, or at least trying to.
By calling him the same name and then changing everything else?
Like Black Christmas 2019. Same thing when Jason Blum said, I don't care what you do with it as long as it's called Black Christmas.
Right.
Seems like what that is.
Exactly.
And I'm like, man, you're underestimating people who really like this franchise.
And it was in development hell. Whenever a movie falls into development hell is because...
Be in it for a while, right? Jason Momoa was in talks.
Oh, dude, yeah. There's been so many different people that were supposed to be the Crow over the years. And I would always get bummed out when I'd be like, oh, they just cast fucking Paul Reubens as the Crow. And I was just like, no, dude, come on. And then when I heard Bill Skarsgård, I was like, maybe.
I could see it. But in the tight, you know, when Brandon Lee's getting dressed, when he first pets the cat after that initial encounter with the cat, when he's getting dressed and you see that tight, like, turtleneck pulling up on his arms and stuff, he was trying to be agile. He was more like the bird itself. You know, he was like sleek, black, and not pasty white everywhere. Sure, he gets torn up and we do see that.
Right.
But it's not until much later on. He doesn't just run out the house with no shirt on. And it looks like he does it everywhere. Before this happened, after it happens, he's just shirtless.
He looks like cool as ice through the whole thing, dude.
But he is fucking yoked. I was like, damn, Skarsgård. But all them Skarsgårds can get real fucking, like...
Yeah, his elegant. Brother in The Northman, dude.
The Northman? Yeah. Crazy good.
Yeah.
Crazy good. So, are you going to watch it?
Yeah, we're going to watch it, and we're going to fucking tear it apart and do an episode on it. But I'm going to hate every second of it. It's going to be like...
Listen, you just said all the other ones have some merit. Is it possible that there's something, or is this just truly an example Is it Battlefield Earth level?
I feel like this is so far off the mark that the other ones were trying to copy the first one, but make it a little bit different with different characters, you know? City of Angels, I think, is actually a pretty decent movie. If you didn't
one's not bad.
Go see, like, I saw it opening night hoping to see another Crow, and I was sorely disappointed. But years later, it holds up. Even that third one with Remo Williams in it, dude, was still fucking kind of had something going on. The Eddie Furlong one, like, we don't even count that. That's ridiculous, dude.
It is a tough one, man. It's a very tough one.
And you're only as good as your bad guy. And David Boreanaz as the dude from Bones in that, or Angel, like, fuck that guy. But, like, this one, too, like, has the wrong bad guy in it.
He looks too clean.
Yeah, he's too put together.
Because even though, what's his name, Michael Wincott? Original?
Wincott,
that's it. He was clean, but dirt, like, everything was grungy. He was in an industrial building that had been converted into a club, and flames and stuff everywhere, very chainy, things like that. So there was he was boning his sister. Well, we got the same mom and dad, so what does that make? Because I don't know.
He would snort a mountain of cocaine and use an eyeball incense.
That is true. That is true. So he was closer to the street. Whereas this seems like the highest echelon ever.
Yeah, he's like a businessman.
Right. I'm going to murder everybody to the top. Yeah, this guy's jet setting across the country. He's part of the Continental. You got to have a coin or a special knife or something before they got to take your finger before you can kill him. He seems at that level. Whereas in our base movie, our original outing, it's much street level grunge. I don't know.
It just works.
When you read those comics, though, when you read them, they were dark. It was rainy. They were dirty.
They were doing something. They had a motif. This has no motif. It looks like they threw everything at the screen and just whatever stuck is what stayed.
The reliance on CGI, I'm terrified of what that's going to be like. It's Aquaman, this new one that I just watched. I'm like, fuck, dude.
You watched that thing, dude? That was bad.
He looked at that and said, yeah, Dolph's hair looks good underwater.
Yeah, they read the script, dude, and they were like, these lines are going to be great coming out of mouths.
Right. Not like, oh, we got it. I'm glad when they suck all the water out of someplace. That's better. But yeah, the over-reliance on CGI is going to hinder this. The Skarsgård won't. He'll show up and probably do a great job at what they presented him, but what they presented him is probably not made of the best ingredients. It smells good, but you bite into it and you're like, fucking what the fuck? You put garlic instead of salt or some shit. Who knows?
I don't even think it's that, dude. I don't think it's something that smells good. I think it's a weird foreign food you've never seen before. You're going to look at it and you're going to be like, this fucking looks weird, dude, but I'm going to try it. And you bite into it and you're like, ugh, it fucking tastes exactly how I thought it looked like it was going to taste.
I wonder if we could
make a better crow. Yes, we could.
I think the Native American crow. I love that idea of on soil and, you know, fucking white settlers coming in and murdering and fucking raping, dude, some people and shit. And then somebody gets to come back hunting from the trees and the fucking like bird just comes in. Yeah.
Stop, dude. You're giving our idea away.
I think you got to start writing, bro.
All right. I'm getting on it.
I think, you know, get a little 10, 20 page little something put together just for, yeah, you could do that. You could do that. All right. So, boo.
Boo. Boo. It's like they took my virginity back and then raped it. That's how bad them making this movie is. Like, I've never had a remake. Like, I've seen all the Terminator remakes and all the fucking Batmans where they fucked it up, and they just really fucking picked the wrong one this time. The one that they should have left pure and alone. I've watched them run Indiana Jones into the ground.
Oh, right into the
ground. And that doesn't even hurt as bad as this does.
No. No, I think this will be worse than that. Because you don't remake a great movie.
You just don't.
You remake poor execution, great idea. Maybe there was a cool idea that could have been something cool but didn't get done quite right. But you don't remake Jaws. You don't remake, you know, look what they've done to Star Wars, dude.
Everything that they've remade have just They've just
there's been some good things in there, but there's been a lot of really terrible things. And it's just looking through the vault. What property do we own? What did we just buy? Even though I will say I like that newest Transformers, which I did. I enjoyed all of those. I don't give a fuck. There was I just want to watch a giant robots fight. But that newest one with the Beast Wars.
The Beast Wars was good.
I enjoyed that a lot. And bringing in G.I. Joe, I'm like, yeah. And I don't even hate them. Couple G.I. Joe movies as much as I hated this trailer.
Dude,
there was a lot of fun to be had.
I would watch the fucking Dolph Lundgren He-Man every single night. Compared to this,
dude, I turn it on almost every single time I see it's on Pluto TV because you know they're dead shit for dirt cheap. But all those old canon movies, there's something to be said for Masters of the Universe though, because they were like, we don't give a fuck, we're just stealing ideas from Star Wars, it don't matter, make up new characters to some toys, just make up all this shit. But there is something still kind of endearing about Masters of the Universe and all his ADR because motherfucker could speak English. Love you though, Dolph. I'm a Dolph supporter. Down with the Dolph. Or actually, up with the Dolph. Up with the Dolph. All right. So next week, we're going to come back and do The Lost Boys. Very excited to talk about another little 80s vampire gem. So for the Horror Pop Extravaganza, episode 20, I've been Pops Ghostly.
And I'm Clint Torres.
Talk to you next week.